Are there any questions for the applicant at this time?
No, I don't have any right now.
I don't have any at this time.
And we do thank you very much for reworking this in such a timely manner.
Sure.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And with that, we'll let's see. I know that there's one person that's listed in here to testify. It sounded like he was running late. Is Scott Hager?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you'd like to. And again, we're just hearing new comments on the revised plan from
yeah.
This. Okay. All right.
So my name's Scott Hager, 9105 South Romar Lane, Cuna, Idaho. So first of all, thanks for listening to us both a few weeks ago and tonight. It's nice to be able to, I guess, feel like we're being heard on that. And I also want to thank Mr. Connor. I mean, he has been working with us and talking about us. And, you know, he brought that up, you know, the width of the end of Romar, I think we're going to be good with. I can still get equipment through there. And, you know, as far as the vinyl fencing and stuff, I think that protects us. So I appreciate that. The drainage, you know, it's in the works, engineering, so I guess I still want to see that, and I guess I still want that on public record that it's going to be okay, you know, to go that way. Two things, I guess I just wanted to bring it up. I felt like it still kind of got left, the concerns with the amount of traffic at 10 Mile and Hubbard is still kind of a concern, and, you know, at the last meeting you guys have brought up that, you know, Ada County Highway District, you know, after 250 homes, then they have to step in and do something. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, Hubbard's a dead-end road. There's 9 homes on it, and jumping to 250, and it's a 2,700% increase of traffic on that, not to mention the other subdivision. And I know there was a little bit of conversation last time as far as, well, if they're being held to the 250. I guess my question for you is, you know, does their numbers and this new numbers equal 250, or are we waiting for both of them to hit 250 and we've got 500 new homes going in there? And I don't know the answer to that. That's, I guess, a question. You guys made a comment that, you know, you can't really go back and tell Ada County Highway District what to do, and I get that. But I guess my question for you or my request is, as an individual, I definitely don't have any say with ACHD. And so I would appreciate you guys at least bringing that, or with staff, bringing it to their attention and saying, is there a concern? I mean, when there's a lot of cars go back there, I don't have another option to go a different route to get out to get to work or to get to wherever I'm going and stuff. That intersection is my only intersection. So I guess I'd appreciate us looking at that or reviewing that. And then the last thing I have, just I guess in general, is just my concern with, you know, where's infrastructure? And we've got 3 huge subdivisions going in right in that same location. And are we looking at that at an adequate level of saying what is that, you know, infrastructure that needs to be in place? Is it already in place? Are we jumping the gun, putting a bunch of homes, and then going to play catch-up afterwards? And I don't have those answers. You know, I hope to, you know, that you guys will at least look at it or consider that in there. But again, I do appreciate Mr. Connor, and, you know, and he has been in touch with us. I think, you know, I don't want a bunch of homes around me, but I do feel like he's trying to make it as palatable as possible. But looking at some of these issues, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Then next up, I have listed to testify Eblis. I'm slaughtering a name somewhere.
Aldis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Aldis Garzvo. I live at 3610 West Hubbard Road in beautiful downtown Cuna. And I'm here to talk to you gentlemen about, and which I would like to make for public record, something called water. We started out as an ag area. I still farm myself. Iger's farm, there's a couple of other people around that farm as well. And I want to submit for the record, I've printed out a natural flow map and overlaid it onto the plot map of how Hubble is proposing to put this down. So I'd like to hand this out. May I approach the commissioners?
Sir, I need to go make copies for everybody present in the room before we can go ahead and do it.
Make copies. There's copies for everybody right here.
Okay. How many copies do you have?
I think
enough for everybody?
There's about eight copies here.
Okay. Everybody has to get one in the room.
Okay. Do you want me to give it to you? There you go. Yeah, there. It's one person. Each person gets one copy. One of each.
Okay.
Yes, correct. Okay. While she is making the copies, I can just kind of give you an explanation. What you're going to receive basically are two pages. One is going to be our.
Yeah, we'll have to pause for a moment. She takes the minutes.
Okay.
And is this in respect to the modified plan that's being shown tonight?
I'm not totally aware of the modified plan. I'm just going to be talking about the natural flow of the water and how the irrigation system flows and where excess flood water goes.
Pause here for a moment while she makes those copies then. Are you ready again?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Rock and
Sorry,
roll.
Please continue.
I appreciate it. I apologize about the, you know, mess up with that. Okay, so to clarify, my property is the 10 acres right now that's right adjacent to the development that's going out into the Romar Lane area. We currently have been, over the years, have been irrigating from the state lateral. And since we are at the end of the lateral, we get a lot of excess runoff water, which is beyond our control. Now, we do work with the ditch rider when we don't get enough water, and also work with them when we get too much water. There are three people that benefit from the state lateral, myself, and Jay Voth. Now, what happens is that if you take a look at the natural flood map, you will see the state lateral comes across. It comes up to the top of the Romar Lane, and then from that point it comes down via pipe and then comes across the road, and then we have an open ditch where I irrigate from and where Jay Voth irrigates from. The Skigers take their water directly from the weir and that irrigates their property. Now, when you take a look at the natural lay of the land and the way the water flows, you can see where the water actually naturally migrates across. In fact, in the back, we have a place called the swamp or the marsh area where all that water finally collects at the bottom. So here's a situation. We had this problem on Sunday, in fact. When the heavy rains came through, people shut off their pumps, and we had an enormous amount of water. The only way that I can get rid of the water without damaging my property is to send it down this natural ditch. And if you take a look, the lay of that ditch crosses right over homes. That's where the water is going to run. And, in fact, the water keeps going and kind of follows that yellow line all the way to the swamp in the back. That's the natural course of the water. So over the years, when we have excess water, we just divert it out to the swamp area, and it just kind of sits there and flows into the ground. My concern is when this development goes in, people are going to get their houses flooded. I don't know how we'll be able to, or anybody who's going to be irrigating, will be able to manage the water, the excess water coming down. So I just want to make a record of that to point out clearly that this is where how the natural flow of the water goes. And, of course, there's a color map that shows over the time how water has migrated. So with that, basically a couple of points I would like to bring up in addition to that. Has the developer considered a hydrology report?
You just kind of have to wrap up. Everybody gets 3 minutes.
Okay. All right. Then my point is basically it's the excess water and how we're going to deal with the water.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Now, I do not see anybody else listed to testify on the modified plan. Is there anybody here who would like to testify on the modified plan or any revisions that has not signed in, I should say? Okay, then seeing none, well, please have the applicant come back up if he would.
Sure. Thank you. Again, Patrick Connor. I just want to respond to a couple questions. First, we had, and I don't know if you can put in your notes your potential condition of approval, but I think it's 5 or 6 lots on our southeast corner along Shayla, adjacent to Neil Durant's property. We spoke with him about making those single stories. So if you can add it to a condition potentially, or if it's a recommendation, we usually memorialize it in our RHOA documentation, but if it's some sort of condition that would honor what we've talked with him about previously. And so I just wanted to mention that. Just some comments on the traffic question. Completely understand the concerns about traffic and HHD and our TIS. And the way that the TIS, the traffic impact study that we conducted, is done is it looks at all the background traffic of proposed projects, future projects in the whole area, and it looks on, it looks like a 5-year, 10-year, and then a build-out of the project. So it looks in the future and how it affects these intersections and the roads and everything like that. And part of it, and it kind of came up when we were talking to the fire department, is ensuring we have 2 points of access, not just to Hubbard, but we also have a point of access to 10 Mile. So if you look in that bottom 40 acres, you see the access east to 10 Mile and also Hubbard. And so that was included in the traffic study and assessing, you know, what percentage of these first 250 lots goes to these intersections and how does that affect the performance of these intersections. And at what point do those intersections, quote, fail by ACHG standards? And so that's how they came up with that 250th lot. You need to have these intersections improved. So they're being really strict on it. This is the first project I've been a part of that they've actually put down a number and saying you can't move beyond this lot without having this number of lots without having certain improvements done. And so we present the project to them. We do all the research with the TIS. They look at all the projects in the area, and then they kind of tell us what meets their level of service. And so that's there. And then the utility infrastructure with the public works, we do have lift station agreements with neighboring properties until we have enough affluent to get the other regional lift station in the swampy marsh area that was just spoken about in the northwest corner. That is something we've been working on with public works. They're bidding improvements on the new line in 10 Mile currently, and so it's an ongoing deal. And we won't be able to bring a house to the market without having a way for it to sewer. And so we're tied to that just as anybody else. And so utility planning is critical. We've lived it the past 2 years. We've been trying to figure out how this is going to work with neighboring properties and how to make it happen responsibly. The city is being very responsible and looking at all options, making sure it happens correctly and responsibly. So it's a concern, and it's a concern that we're well aware of, and we're trying our best to work through it. And then, so I appreciate the exhibits from Mr. Garcevo on how the water drains across the property. The last meeting, we said that's one of the first things we do when we start a project is we try to meet with you all to figure out what's going on here. We understand this is an area where, you know, there's runoff, et cetera. You're talking about the marsh area in the northwest corner. That's kind of where it all goes. That's also where we have our regional PI plan. I think it's 1 million gallons of storage for the PI system. Strategically placed there because we know that there's going to be excess there and then the outfall eventually into Indian Creek. And so and as far as the existing drainage going across lots, that's something we work with all the time, whether we need to pipe it or they need to route it in a different way. We can work with the topography. We've done a geology study, a rock study. Some of our engineers have studied how the hydrology works and met with the ditch rider out there. And so we're trying to do what we can as best to engineer it from a preliminary level. And then as we dive into each area to make sure that it functions well. And obviously we don't want any of our houses to flood. definitely don't want that to happen. So we do everything we can, whether we need to raise certain areas of the site to make sure the water flows the way we want it to. As far as like water sheathing across the properties, we can do drainages in backyards or have French drains or do what we need to do to capture it. I think that sums up some of the questions brought up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Does anybody have any questions on what's been the new information that's been presented tonight for either staff or the applicant before we close the public testimony?
No, I think I'm pretty good. I think the questions from the public and the information has been pretty good tonight. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then with that, I'll go ahead and close the public testimony at 6:29, which then brings up our discussion on the project. Any initial thoughts?
Well, I think to reiterate kind of a couple of things we went over the last time in your absence, that we kind of went into this with a little bit of hesitation, but after the presentation and seeing how it's laid out and that the fact that the company's working, the applicant is working with the neighbors to get a lot of this addressed, it made us feel a lot more comfortable. And the only concern we really had at the time was some of these transitional lots. And I think as they've gone back and reworked this in the last couple of weeks, it's really kind of eased my feelings on it. I think they've really worked, in my opinion, quite well with trying to work this out. And they've met with the neighbors. They've talked about the irrigation. You know, a lot of that's going to be definitely further involved during the design, you know, as they actually get into the numbers on it. But, yeah, I don't think it's in the applicant's or anybody's best interest to have anything flood, so I think they're going to work really hard to try to avoid that. And so I think he's presented some really, you know, good options to get us what we want. And like you said, with the condition that to put those first five lots as single stories for to consider that neighbor, I think is nice. And so I don't really have any further concerns. I think as long as Public Works is diligently working like they have been to get all the sewer outlined, and they're trying to not just hit the numbers in this area, but they're trying to provide for future with this regional lift station that the applicant's helping with. And then, you know, in doing just a lot of the design of this water system is going to be something that they have to deal with the city engineer. So I think it's as good as can be at this point. You know, never 100% on irrigation water, and especially what we went through on Sunday, but you know, we're doing better than Yellowstone right now. But yeah, it's concerning, but they can do the best they can. I think they're actively working to solve the concerns of the neighbors.
Yeah, I agree. I think you summed it up perfect. We had enough questions last time. I'm not going to go through each one, but I do appreciate the applicant coming forward, working with the community, working with the design changes to R6 or R4. I'm sorry. You know, the school supporting this. You know, the applicant has been huge in this community, and there's nothing that gives me any reason to believe that this isn't something different, that this is something different. I think we're at the threshold of a lot of things. Growth is coming, taking into consideration what's already approved and things that are coming down the pike. I think this meets and exceeds everything that we could want to come to this community.
Just for the record, I did read the meeting minutes from the last hearing, and was up to speed when we approved those and looked at the application previous and this one, and I agree. I think they've stepped up and listened, and I don't have an issue with the amended plan. I don't know.
I think that staying with the R4 it looks good, and I'm very appreciative that the applicant has stepped up and is willing to look at the gravity irrigation systems out there, since it's not something that the city actually deals with. Mm-hmm. And I think the commitment to do that is beneficial.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything really much to add. I think willing to go to R4 along those is great. Willing to go to a single level home along that. I tried that once years ago when I had development behind my house, and they said no. So I think it's great that the developer is willing to do that. So
just as a point of order here, I guess. So we have three items that are going to be recommendations, or four items, and then two that are approval denial for ours specifically. So we have special use permit and design review. So special use permit seems pretty straightforward. It's just having to do with how this is laid out. But does anybody have any issues or concerns with the design review, the landscaping, basically the common areas, and
the parks and everything that they've laid out. I mean, personally, they're offering up a lot of amenities. I think what they're doing is pretty good. I don't have any concerns, but I just wanted to specify that so as we make points of, you know, motions and stuff, that everybody's on the same page.
That's a great point. I don't have any concerns.
Okay. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval to the City Council of 21-04-AN, 21-03-ZC, 21-01-PUD, and 21-03-S, excuse me, with the conditions as outlined in the staff report, with the additional condition that the five lots on the south end of Shayla Avenue that are adjacent to the neighbor's property are specified as single story, as the applicant has requested.
I would second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 21-26-DR and 21-04-SUP for Savino's Rocky Ridge subdivision with the conditions outlined in the staff report and the additional condition that the first five lots along the south end of Shayla Avenue be single story as requested.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Carries as well. Thank you all.
All right. Thank you very much.
Folks, if you would like to vacate, you are more than welcome to. We'll give you a couple minutes to do so.
And give just a moment, then we'll call up the next.
Sometimes you hear. You know, you look at something you wish you could watch.
Mine is forgetting. Recommending or approving.
Go ahead, Chairman.
Okay. Then next up under business items, we have case number 22-07-DR, design review for the vineyards at Merlin Point subdivision. That's just been removed. Do we have to do anything for the application that's been
withdrawn?
Withdrawn. It was on there, but it's been withdrawn. So, since it's been withdrawn, I don't know that there's anything that we need to formally do.
Okay.
So, again, that's the design review for the vineyards at Merlin Point.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. For the record, Planner 1, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. New Beginnings Housing, LLC, request design review approval for a 37-unit, three-story senior independent living housing project with community garden, horseshoe pits, walkway paths, seating areas, and covered parking. This housing project will be limited to residents age 62 or older on a fixed income. The subject site is located at 150 and 200 North Sailor Avenue, lots 4 and 5 of Block 5 within Merlin Point Subdivision Number 1, and is zoned C1 Neighborhood Commercial. Per CUNA City Code 532, senior housing is a permitted use within the C1 zone. The proposed three-story L-shaped structure will provide restricted access, an elevator, and interior corridor access to units. There will be 12 one-bedroom units, 25 two-bedroom units, and 4 ADA accessible units. Proposed parking for the site totals 44 standard stalls, 33 of which are covered, and 6 ADA stalls, 2 of which are covered. Based upon review of the proposed structure and its materials, parking lot, landscaping, and lighting, staff finds the project generally complies with CUNA City Code Title V. Staff would note that a final landscape plan must be provided and must be in substantial conformance with the submitted landscape concept plan. Staff would recommend the Commission approve case number 22-07-DR, with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in staff's report. And with that, I will answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions for staff at this time?
I don't.
No, I don't.
Thanks, Jessica. Okay, and is the applicant here as well? Okay, please come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Greg Irudia with New Beginnings Housing. My address is 623 South Kimball Avenue, Suite C in Caldwell, 83605. I think the description that was provided is relatively complete. The property that we're building is similar to other properties that we have in the valley. We have five or six other senior communities that we've constructed in other communities within the Treasure Valley. For the most part, these properties are they're regulated by the Idaho Housing and Finance Association. Which does annual reviews of the property to make sure that we're maintaining not only the interior units and things like that, but the exteriors. We have quite a bit of regulatory compliance that we have to deal with to maintain the properties in good condition. And we believe it'll certainly be an asset to the community. There's a very strong need for senior housing in general within the community. It is a little bit of mixed income. 10% of units are market, but the majority of them are targeted for individuals that are on fixed incomes, that are incomes in the probably $25,000 to $30,000 a year type of range. Our typical resident is a single retired or widowed woman in her 70s is basically what we see. And as I indicated, the properties is restricted to residents 62 and older and would remain restricted to residents 62 and older perpetually, essentially. I stand for any questions that you might have about the project. We do have the architect and the civil design is here if you have any questions specific to those items.
I'm not sure if it's one that you could answer, or if it, I guess, being the owner, probably. The elevations as presented, I'm pretty good with. I'm wondering, would you consider adding a stone wainscot or something at the bottom end of the elevations to add just some additional textural relief from the siding that's out there?
The concern that we've had, obviously, as I'm sure you've heard from everyone, is that what we've tried to provide something that it's just an issue of cost for us. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as anything, our funding is limited into what we can do. We have, with that, if we could possibly do it in the funding, we would absolutely do it because we prefer to do it. I mean, our goal is to make it as visually pleasing and as desirable as possible. Essentially what we have applied with is something that we feel it gives us the best opportunity to try to get the project built in the current cost environment. Many of our projects have the stone if we can do it, but the reason that it's not in this budget right now is just because of what's happening with costs. All honesty.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant at this time?
Yes. I'm looking at the landscaping on it.
Yes.
And a couple of things that I've noticed is we've got a community garden on the north side of the building, and it's shaded by some nice trees over there. I don't think that works too well. And then I don't see any outside seating areas where, maybe under an awning or under some kind of a shelter. where people could actually go outside and spend time out there.
So there are seating, there is the exterior seating that we have is essentially at the back entry as far as a distinct seating area. We can add seating in, around the community gardens. Honestly, we took some of the trees away that the landscape architect had around the gardens, and we can pull more of those off. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with your observation there.
Yes, and then the other thing I see is the trees are mature, but you're only planting 2-inch calipers, so how long before we actually get, there's actually some shade outside under these trees?
I would assume that we're probably 10 years out from those being significant, maybe 7 to 10 years out from them being significant trees.
Is there any way we could plant a few larger trees? Bump it up to a 4-inch caliper?
I assume we can try. I mean, that certainly is an option for us.
Yeah, I think that's all I had.
The other option we might have is we could try to put a smaller shade structure out there by the community gardens. If that would suffice, that might be actually more useful to the residents than
I think that might be a good patio area
with a smaller shade structure. I think would get us farther along towards where you're trying to get, I think.
That would be good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions at this time?
I have a question. So is there someone that's going to be like a maintenance manager on they're living there, or how often will like the halls be maintained? What I'm really getting at is I really don't like where the trash enclosure is, but I don't see any better option. And sometimes those trash enclosures can get pretty disgusting looking. So is there someone that maintains that and makes sure that it's cleaned up? Mm-hmm. Because it's right there at an entrance.
It's a catch-22 a little bit. The reason that we try to keep them a little closer to the entrance is just trying to make it not so far for residents to go with their trash. So if we put it at the far end of the property, that's a burden for someone with a walker to get their trash out there. The way the property is managed by third-party management, there'll be a manager on-site, not living on-site, but there'll be a manager on-site, probably averaging, I would say, 24 to 32 hours a week. And then there will also be a part-time, probably a half-time maintenance person that will be, the halls will be clean. I mean, there's an ongoing cleaning regimen that they take place. But, yeah, there's not full. It's going to be part-time staff management, but there'll be maintenance person and on-site manager, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
That brings up our discussion on the design review.
I think trying to keep costs into a decent range that they can offer these services for their residents, I should say, is probably going to be tough at this point in time. So I understand the texturing, but I kind of get where they're coming from right now. So I think overall, the project they presented is pretty good. They've got a good amount of breakup on the elevations.
Oh, yeah.
I think it looks good. I think with the addition of the shade structure, it kind of provides some area for them to go. While the trees mature and such, so I don't have too many issues with this. I think it's a needed thing.
Yeah, I agree. Very needed. With what's going on, taxes and just inflation and everything, I don't have to say it all, but I think this is much needed for this community, for this age group. I totally understand the elevation with the cost of materials. Keeping homes affordable right now is tough. But I don't have any problem with this.
I think with all the plantings along the building, that the stone, while it might be nice, the plantings will keep people off the building, so it should stay in a fairly good condition. And I think by adding some of the shade structures and seating areas, that would work well.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have any other concerns. I think it's very, very needed in this community.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-07-DR design review for the vineyards at Merlin Point subdivision with the conditions as outlined in the staff report, and the additional condition to put a couple of or some seating areas by the community garden, and that shade structure is indicated by the applicant.
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Okay. Then next under business items, we have case number 22-23-DR design review for a water operations building.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. Brisby LLC, represented by Parametrics, request design review approval for a water operations building, parking, and landscaping to be developed on approximately 13.4 acres. The subject site is zoned M1 Light Manufacturing Industrial and is located at 6601 West Cunamora Road. The proposed water operations building will be approximately 7,325 square feet, consisting primarily of garage, storage, and pump room, with approximately 1,000 square feet of office space. It will serve as the future City of CUNA Public Works Department Water and Wastewater Control Center for East CUNA, in accordance with the recorded infrastructure agreement with Brisby LLC, which was approved by the City Council on December 2021. The majority of the landscaping on site is proposed to use native drought-resistant plantings for consistency with the surrounding native vegetation and to prevent unnecessary water usage as the area is not serviced by pressurized irrigation and utilizing potable water is heavily discouraged. KCC 51712 permits water-conserving landscape design. The water operations building, parking, and landscaping are in general compliance with CUNA City Code. Upon review, staff finds the application appears to be in general compliance with CUNA City Code Title 5, the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the commission approve case number 22-23-DR, with the applicant being subject to the conditions as listed in the staff report. With that, I will stand by for any questions.
Any questions for?
I have none.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Is there anything else to add to Doug's? Okay. I guess that just brings our discussion real quick to this. Looking at the elevations, the type of facility that it is and where it is and how it functions and the landscaping is all seems appropriate to me. I don't have any issues with what I've seen.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you said it.
Yeah. Any other?
Nothing here.
Watcher. Okay.
I'd like to see sagebrush used as landscaping.
Drought resistant.
All right. In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-23-DR design review for the water operations building with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Carries. And see anything more on the agenda. Is there anything, any commissioner? Anything from? Nope. All right.
Yeah, in that case, Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Adjourn.
There's always that one.